That was great. Let's go to Leviticus 17, and that is in the Old Testament. If you're getting used to your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, and then Leviticus, third book, chapter 17. While you're turning there, Brother Hall was telling me that we had a young person that rode in on the bus this morning, was in teen church, whose grandmother was on one of the airplanes that was hijacked on September the 11th, 10 years ago. Her grandmother, of course, died in that attack. And so I didn't know that. And she's been coming to the church for a couple months now. And that's I'm glad she is. Also, if you could think about it, tomorrow, Pam Britt is going in for surgery on her back. And so pray that that goes well. Hopefully, if it does what it's supposed to do, she'll have some immediate relief. And hopefully, after a few weeks, be back on her feet. So you pray for her tomorrow, please, if you think about it. All right, let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. We're reading now verses 10 and 11 of Leviticus 17. I'll read verse 10. Would you join me on verse 11? Leviticus 17, verse 10 says, "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Heavenly Father, bless please tonight our talk from your word, and I pray that you'll bless our church. Thank you, Lord, for the good beginning in Rock Falls. Now, Lord, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Bless Brother Tommy, his family, and help some of those people, many of them, to return and form a nucleus, Lord, of what will be a long-lasting church until Jesus comes. I pray that you'll bless us in our service tonight. Help us, I pray. We'll thank you for it, God. Give us your liberty and power is my prayer. Bless the song now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Those old songs pack a punch, don't they? They pack a punch. Did you ever get a piece of dessert and you ate it, and when you finished, you said, man, that was rich. You know, just filling. You have just a small piece of it, but it's so rich, it just fills you up. That was rich, wasn't it? That was rich. Wonderful. Thank you, Sharla. Wonderful song tonight. I want to speak for just a few moments, and I mean that because Brother Caleb's going to come and tell us what we're going to do this fall. But I want to speak just a few moments on the subject, the life of the body. The life of the body. Verse number 11 of chapter 17 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the body. Oh God in heaven, help us tonight. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for the privilege to hear that song and be reminded of such divine love that proved itself on the cross of Calvary. Oh, goodness, what a song. Thank you, God, for that gift. The gift of Jesus, your Son. Thank you for the privilege to preach. Help me tonight. May it be a good service. May you come in power and liberty and help us, Lord, to enjoy it and learn and be blessed and helped. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. On December 12, 1799, George Washington, the retired general and former president of the United States, spent many hours on horseback inspecting his farm. The day was miserable. It was wet. It was cold, freezing rain, snowy. And as he rode most of the day around his farm, he got soaked. Now, the story is that when he got home, he was so hungry he didn't bother to take the time to change his clothes. And so he ate his evening meal in those wet and cold clothes. The next morning, he woke up with a bad cold and a fever and a very sore throat that later on in the day became infected. In fact, some writers said that he lapsed into pneumonia. Now, it was a common practice in those days to bleed a sick person. The thought being that draining the bad, infected, sick blood would help the healing process. Now, some historians write that the physician tending to him, to George Washington, was careless, and too much blood was withdrawn, leaving the former president too weak to fight the infection. You understand that? Now, as a result of that, on the night of December 14th, just 2 days after he took that ride, one day after he woke up with the fever and the sore throat, the 67-year-old former president, former general, died. What a great man George Washington was. So, did he die of blood loss? Well, it's argued. You can read and research, and some will say that he died of the infection, and some will say he died of this, but certainly the loss of blood did not help. It weakened his body and made it nigh impossible for him to fight the infection that evidently did take his life. I'm not sure exactly when in modern times man figured out how important blood was to the human body. I don't know when man figured that out. But I do know this. Had they read Moses in the book of Leviticus, they would have learned it a lot earlier than they did. Because Moses wrote here in verse number 11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, in verse number 10, those are some pretty strong words there. Look at what it says. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off, God said, from among his people. You know, blood is sacred to God because it is necessary for human life, and human life is sacred to God. Human life may not be sacred to the abortionist, but it's sacred to God. And human life may not be sacred to the one who thinks that old people are just taking up space here on the earth, but it's sacred to God. And that's one reason blood is sacred to God, because the blood is necessary. The blood, the life of the flesh, the physical body is in the blood. Truthfully, folks, this is the honest truth. This is not just good preaching. This is the honest truth. That blood actually possesses a living principle. And that the life of the whole body is derived from it and dependent upon it is a teaching of divine revelation. God revealed that in His Word. That's where it was found. That's where it was put before it was put anywhere else. Now, you remember when Solomon was writing over there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and he was writing about the things that can set into a body the older you get. Remember when he said, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days draw nigh." He began to list several things that sometimes happen as you grow older in your body. And in verse number 6, he said this. He said, "The pitcher be broken at the fountain." You know what that's a reference to? That's a reference to the circulatory system. That's a reference to the blood, to the heart, sending and receiving the flow of blood throughout the body. It starts here and is pumped here and it returns through that muscle that's known as our heart. And that's exactly what Solomon was talking about. Actually, it was God that gave Solomon the words. The pitcher be broken at the fountain. Brother, when you have a heart trouble, it's serious. You're dealing with the very fountain of life, aren't you? And that's what Solomon is saying there. If blood supply is lost to an extremity, the extremity dies. And it has to be amputated. That's what happens sometimes with folks with diabetes. It happened to Ron Santo. He lost both of his legs because he was a diabetic, and the flow of blood to his feet. And he lost the life to his feet and his legs. And so it had to be amputated because the life of the flesh, the life of the physical body is in the blood. That circulatory pumping of the blood throughout the system is what keeps our bodies alive. This is all a part of God's Word. And one of the reasons that we know the Bible is the Word of God is because of its credibility. It's credible when it comes to medicine. It's credible when it comes to science. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, this is why bone marrow is so important to our physical bodies. Why bone marrow? Red blood cells do not reproduce themselves. White blood cells do not reproduce themselves. It is the bone marrow that manufactures. It is the bone marrow that is the factory of the blood cells for our body. The bone marrow produces the red blood cells and the white blood cells and the platelets. The red blood cells carry oxygen and remove waste from our organs and tissue. The white blood cells, you know, help fight off infection. And the platelets. The platelets. You know, any physician that operated under the theory that you could bleed the sick blood out of a person ought to just study what the platelets. The platelets is what helps blood to clot so that you stop bleeding, because a loss of blood is fatal. All right? Now, it's obvious God didn't intend to bleed someone out, because He created the body to create and manufacture platelets in our blood system. And so a healthy bone marrow, it produces, I read somewhere, a healthy bone marrow produces, somebody said, up to 500 billion cells per day. That's amazing. And when when disease strikes the bone marrow, like leukemia, you don't mess around with that. It's dangerous. Serious. Because it's affecting the part of our body that creates and manufactures blood cells, which is what keeps us alive, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Amen. And God said it years ago. Now, I said all of that, not just so we could have a science lesson in church tonight, all right? Or a biology lesson. I didn't say it as well as some could, but that's pretty much the truth. Now, I didn't say it just for that reason. I said it for this reason as well. The New Testament says that a local church is three things. The New Testament says that a local church is a bride. A local church is a building, and a local church is a body. This church is a body. And just like you and I have one body made up of many members, so this church is one body made up of many members. Now listen carefully. The life of the flesh, I'm talking about the body, I'm talking about the physical life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And the body is created by God to produce new blood cells. Because you and I get cut. Think over your history. Think about how many times you get cut. Caleb Minkowski got cut. He fell outside Wednesday night. And some of the folks here were helping him. He had 6 stitches in his chin. But he came in, he bled like a stuck hog. I'm telling you. And I told Jason, I made 3 trips to the emergency room with Ben. Before he was 5 years old. 3 trips for stitches. Think about all the times you bled. But you haven't bled out. And if you're healthy, your blood count is up normal this evening, because God designed, now watch it,
God designed our human body with bone marrow that produces new blood. Because the life of the body is in the blood. Now look, in the same way, the life of a church body is in the blood. It is in the production of blood cells. It is new blood that keeps a church body healthy. New people, new folks, visitors and people who come and people who get saved and some don't. There was a man here this morning who spent 10 years in Iraq and Afghanistan. Is that right, Jake? And he's got a lot going on in his head about some of the things that he did. And buddy, that's an awful thing. Some of the things that war demands out of you. Huh? I've been told some stories. I can't even tell you some of the stories that I've been told in confidence from Ken Shaver, who pastors that church outside Fort Campbell down there in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. You ought to deal with some of the stuff that man has to deal with. Unbelievable. These guys that go overseas for, 12, 18 months and then come back, and the things that's demanded of them because they're soldiers, they're in a war. There's a man here. And the other night he was talking to Jake and Jason, and he was talking to them guys, those fellows about, why do we do this? And Jake said, man, preacher, the very things you said this morning were the answers to all the questions he was asking us the other night. The guy sat right over there, he's just locked in. I don't know if he's saved or not. But see, that's what I'm talking about. New blood. New blood. New blood. We just shipped out, I don't know how many different folks into Sunday school classes, in the adult Sunday school classes. Brother Tom got some in his class. Brother Johnson got some in his class. Brother Maxwell got some in his class. Brother Jason got three couples in his class that we shipped out of the newcomers class, and we're starting all over again, the newcomers. We had Brother Caleb was up there. I taught the class this morning. There was four of us, five of us counting me, four newcomers, adults, in the class this morning. And listen to the lesson on the Word of God. It is new blood that keeps a church body healthy, because the life of the body is in the blood. Now, the outreach program and the ministries are the bone marrow of a church. The outreach programs and the outreach ministries, that's the bone marrow of a New Testament church. It's where the new blood is manufactured. It's where the new blood is created. When the bone marrow of a local New Testament church is healthy, the church will be healthy. And when the bone marrow of a New Testament church gets unhealthy, then the church is in trouble. So here we go again. We come again to another program. We come again to another 5-week emphasis on outreach. This time it's called Delivering the Goods. And it's UPS versus FedEx, and we'll have some fun. But folks, the fun is just secondary. The primary thing is that it's an emphasis on reaching out. It's an emphasis on visiting, an emphasis on talking to people, an emphasis on inviting people to church. And you think, is this ever going to stop? Will it ever end? Well, let me say this. If it does, then the body will be in trouble. The body will be in trouble. Because the outreach is the bone marrow. You know, the body must have a healthy bone marrow. And the bone marrow, just over time, does its job to replace the blood cells in our body that help do all the things I talked about just a little bit ago. And that's why, man, you go to the doctor, you're sick and you're weak, and he says, you know what, I'm afraid you might have leukemia. Good grief, man. Warning flags are raised and sirens go off and you're nervous and you're praying, oh God, help me. Because leukemia affects the blood marrow. That's where your blood's produced. And the life of your body's in your blood. Same thing about a local New Testament church. And I spoke to the bus workers yesterday at the meeting about the power of consistency. The power of consistency. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the Bible says they continued steadfastly. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says they were continuing daily. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, the Bible says, daily in the temple and in every house. Do you see the emphasis on the consistency there? Look, that is the pattern church. Willow Creek is not the pattern church. Saddleback's not the pattern church. First Baptist Hammond's not the pattern church. Highland Park's not the pattern church. That church in Jerusalem is the pattern church. For all of our churches. Sure it is. And it's where they were added. They were consistent. Look. Things have changed. We know that. They didn't have a building. They didn't have a sound system. They didn't have these type of musical instruments. They didn't have padded pews and all some of the stuff that we have. No, church has changed a little bit over the years, but there are some fundamental elements in that first church that must be, they must be, they must be copied, they must be implemented, they must be practiced over and over and over and over and over and over and over. If we ever get away from those things, the bone marrow will get sick. If the bone marrow gets sick, the blood gets sick. If the blood gets sick, the body gets sick. That's it. That's it. That's the honest truth. You know, there used to be a church in Rock Falls, Sterling. There used to be. There used to be a church that did what we do. There used to be a church that preached the Bible and had invitations and sent people out and ran buses and had an outreach in the community. Brother McMurtry's wife went to that school. She didn't live in Rock Falls or Sterling. She lived close by, I think. And she went to that school as a girl. And that, and the building is still there. And it's a beautiful building, but it's only a remnant of people. And there's no outreach. And there's no emphasis. And there's no going out. And the church is not healthy tonight. And all that they can do, all that they can do is just talk about what used to be. What used to be. I dread that with all my life. I dread that. I dread that with all of my heart. I'll tell you something, friend. You know what happened? You know what happened to that church? Let me tell you what happened. They got away from it. That's what I say. You talk to say, well, what happened to your church? Well, we got away from it. Got away from what? Got away from the fundamental elements of the for the health of a body that keep a church healthy. You get away from those things, and you know what? God is no respecter of persons. This church will grow unhealthy if we get away from it. There's no doubt about it. So we're going to take the 5 weeks here, and we're going to have the surveys. And we'd like for you to be a part of those surveys. We'd like to get enough prospects to last us all winter. You can't survey in the winter. It's impossible. Hey, we'd like to get enough prospects to last us all winter. And so we want the survey folks to really go out. We're going to have 5 weeks of it, and a little bit longer if you can do that. And it's that time of the year again. And you know, when you can only talk about what used to be, it's because the body has gotten unhealthy. Listen very carefully. This is something interesting, and I'm going to wrap it up and give Caleb some time. It's an interesting fact that when the body is young, almost all of the bones produce blood. When the body is young, almost all of the bones, some of these young guys sitting around here tonight, these young ladies sitting around here, these children, teenagers, young college-age kids, healthy bones, healthy body, in the young people's bodies in this church, they're almost all the bones in their body are producing blood cells. But for some of us others that are older, the older you get, the fewer your bones produce blood cells. And the older you get, your spine, your sternum, your pelvic area, that's about the only bones in older bodies that produce blood cells. Isn't that something? When I read that, I thought about that. And I thought about, you know, that's what happens to a church body. Unless you work at it, and unless you come to the pulpit and keep it in front of the people, and unless you take the risk of even offending some of the folks who say, you know what, I am tired of hearing that we need to go out. Unless you work at it, the older your church grows, the less the emphasis on outreach. The more established you become, the less you feel like you need to go out. Man, when you're a young church, you're in survival mode. We've got to get people in. We've got to. And so the whole body is youthful and it's producing new blood and the whole body is working together. But as a church grows established and stable and settled and grows older and older, 42 years old, Faith Baptist Church, there's got to be somebody to come and say, folks, look, I know that we're busy. I know we have stuff to do, but it's time once again to emphasize knocking on doors and passing out tracts. We got to stay youthful in that area. If we don't, we lose the bone marrow. And if we lose the bone marrow, we lose the blood. and you lose the blood, you lose the life. And that's the truth. Because the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Friend, the number one thing that creates a dead church is not the music program. The number one thing that creates a dead church is lack of new people popping through those doors back there. But brother, when you have folks visiting and you have folks coming, you have people, I mean, maybe there's not 100, maybe there's only maybe a handful, but they're coming and it's consistent and it's regular. When you got that going on, you'll keep a church alive because the life of the body is in the blood. It's in the blood. So church, I'm not embarrassed, nor the least bit intimidated to come and say, it's time for us to crank it up again. It's time for us to visit. It's time for us to knock doors. It's time for us. Let's make some time. Let's show up at the meeting. Come on, get you a survey partner and go do the surveys. Let's talk to people. This guy who was here this morning was here because of a survey. It's working. It's working. But the older a church gets, the bigger it gets, more folks sit down. And if that becomes the commonplace, bone marrow's in trouble. And when the bone marrow's in trouble, the blood production's in trouble. When the blood production is in trouble, the life of the body's in trouble. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Y'all believe that? Few of you are looking at me like a calf at a new gate tonight. But that's the truth. It's in the blood. So let's get with it. Let's have a good fall program. Let's ask the Lord to do great things. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll help us tonight to understand and see this principle and truth. And God, I pray that You'll give us a mindset that the older our church becomes, we'll stay youthful in the area of reproducing, of producing blood, manufacturing new blood cells, reaching people. I pray, God, You'd give us an inroad to the hearts of people in the community. I pray, God, You'd give us open doors. I pray that You'd give us surveys and people who start to think about their eternal destiny because they were asked a question. I pray, God, You'd give our free teams open doors to win them to Christ. Oh, God, help us to reach this community. Help us to be busy. Help us to be consistent. Keep the bone marrow of our church healthy, I pray. In Jesus' name is my prayer made.